It's my honor to welcome our speaker for tonight. I wasn't supposed to get to do this, but I was asked last minute to do it, and I'm rather excited. I've only heard Pastor Jay Fallon speak twice, all within the past day and a half, and I can tell you that the anointing and call of God on his life is easy to recognize, and I'm really excited about what he's going to give everyone here tonight. So Pastor Jay, you're welcome here at this pulpit. Could we all welcome him as he comes?
Thank you. Well, good evening. Praise God. I feel like singing that song again, Freedom. I so enjoyed it. I thought if we just sing that another 10 times, we could really just finish the night right there. God was moving in that song so powerfully. You know, people's shackles were coming off. People were starting to believe. I'm free. You sensed it in the air. And it's moments like that. God just touches your life and it changes forever. Just during the worship, as you start singing and praising his name, it's amazing. But I just want to say it's been fantastic to be here with you. And I want to thank Pastor Kat and Teresa for inviting me here. It's been a real honor. I said to them on the way in the car, it's like, I've came with a couple of spoonfuls of fire and tried to throw it on a volcano. God is moving so powerfully here in the midst of people and doing miracles, and he's working. You know, there's a passion in Christ to touch our lives and make it different. You know, it's really just about believing. God is looking for somebody who'll just believe. I mean, a dying thief on a cross believed. You know, he hadn't even done a discipleship course, friends. He hadn't done an alpha course. He didn't do a discipleship course. He never went to a baptism class. For what I know, he never even got baptized in the Holy Spirit up there. Never done a Bible class. Never fasted. Never had time to get God's approval through works. He didn't even know the sinner's prayer. He said, "Will you remember me?" Wow. Never filled in a card so we could contact him. And God, the passion of Christ for a soul, his eyes, the blood's running into the Christ's eyes. People are screaming, and yet, even at that point, he can turn round to a man and say, "Today, today, you will be with me in paradise." And friends, he's still there, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Friends, we need to just. God is looking for somebody who'll believe. You could never pray enough, fast enough, give enough, and do enough for this love. It's free. It's the passion in Christ's heart to set us free. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. It's not what I'm preaching on, but I've got that off my chest. It was just the love. I just felt the love of God in that song. Amen. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. If you have a Bible, will you turn to Mark chapter 6? Mark chapter 6. Hallelujah. I'm just going to read out verses 6 and 7. This is Jesus, and it says, Mark chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. And he summoned, or he called, the 12 to be with him. Or it might say in your version, and he summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs and gave them authority over unclean spirits. And he instructed them that they should take nothing for their journey except a mere staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belt, but to wear sandals. And he added, "Do not put on two tunics." And he said to them, "Whenever you enter into a house, stay there until you leave town. Any place that does not receive you or listen to you as you go out from there. Shake the dust from the soles of your feet for a testimony against them. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they were casting out demons and were anointing with oil many sick people and healing them. Let me read that again. And they were casting out demons and were anointed with oil many of the sick people and healing them. But the one verse in this I want to speak to you about tonight is verse 7. And he called the disciples to be with him and sent them out in pairs. I want to just talk to you tonight for just 20 minutes. The title of my sermon tonight, I remember I touched on this 5 years ago somewhere, I can't remember where. It might have even been at the fire conference or some other conference I was doing, but it came to my mind so powerfully tonight. And after hearing the sermons of Pastor Carter and what everybody shared, and even the songs tonight about Jesus, it said he called the disciples to be with him. The title of my sermon tonight is simply, The Power of Being with Him. The power of being with Him. There's a call in the Spirit right now for the church to get back to just being with Him. It has been sidetracked. While the church is looking for methods, better methods, how to reach the world, God in His heart, God, I believe God is saying by His Spirit, my best method is a man who's been with me. A man who's been with Christ. A man who said yes to Christ. A man or a woman who will say, God, no matter what, you saved my life. You've absolutely delivered me. And I want to tell you, when God starts to call you, there's not a devil in hell can stop you being free. There's not a chain that can't be broken. There's not a bondage you can't snap. There's not a besetting sin that you can't get free from. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. There's this call of Christ, and it calls men out of caves who are mad and cutting themselves, and He gives them a sound mind. That's the power of the Christ. There's power in being with Him. And there's a call in the Spirit for men and women who are disciples of Christ to be with Him. Instead of running about looking for methods and how we can do stuff. And all the latest gadgets and all the latest gimmicks. And just one man who've been with Him. One woman who've been with Him. And there's men in the Bible who have been with Him. I think of Abraham, when God called him, and Abraham had to just leave, not knowing where he was going. All he knew in his heart, I sensed the call of God. I sensed God saying, go there. I don't know what's going to happen when I get there, but there's this magnetism call deep within me. There's a sense of destiny in this call. There's a power in this call. I mean, he just called men and they dropped their nets. You don't see Peter, do you? Following Jesus Christ, carrying the net, just in case this doesn't work out. No, he's saying, leave everything. And Abraham went with God. You know the story of Abraham. And I want to tell you, if you're going to be with him, there's going to be a cost involved. You're going to have to leave everything that you know that's familiar. And he's going to take you to a place you've not been before, you've not walked before. And it's a walk of faith. It's not by sight. Naturally, you might say, I'm safe here. This is where my resources are. This is where my security is. This is where I've always lived in God. But there's this call. And Abraham left where he was. I mean, Moses was with him. And he had to leave the palace of Pharaoh. And he had to leave a reputation. Joshua was with him. Samuel was with him. David was with him. You remember David, the shepherd boy. He's up there in the mountains. And I want to tell you, when you've been with him, everybody wants to be with him and get through into the limelight. But I want to tell you, there's a hidden life before there's a public life. There's a life when nobody's looking. You see, David killed the lion and the bear. It wasn't on the front page of Charisma magazine. Look what David's done. Look what I've done. When nobody was looking, David was with him. And there were sheep. Who cares about a sheep? It said a bear came, a lion came and stole a sheep. You would think, honestly, you would think it's only one sheep. Especially if a lion took it. You'd be like, no, what? Let the lion have it. We'll breed another one. But David has a conviction when nobody's looking. He's conscious of his responsibility. He's conscious of the responsibility that his father gave him. And I'll tell you, who you are when nobody's looking, it really matters to God what you do in your head in life. And he chased that lion. He chased a lion. I mean, we just read that. He chased a lion and risked his life for a little sheep when nobody was looking. And when David was with him, I'm saying this to make this point. Now listen, David was with him up there, nobody was looking. But all of a sudden, God had called this young man. God had anointed this young man. Isn't it amazing how we wonder, you know, sometimes we're looking for a prophet to come and somebody to prophesy, or the next big meeting, or the next big thing, somebody's going to tell me my destiny. David got through into his destiny when his father gave him a couple of sandwiches to go down and give it to his brothers. And he goes down to this fight, and there's a man there called Goliath, and there's a shepherd boy. Now, the whole of Israel and Saul are Goliath conscious, and this giant, his voice has gone out, and it's intimidating the armies of the living God. These are God's people. Every morning they got up, they put on their armor, and everybody was shouting, but nobody was fighting. Nobody was taking out Goliath. And David comes down and he hears this. And I really believe that the modern church has become problem conscious rather than conscious of the greatness of our God. But David came into this fight, and he's not got the armor that Saul, he's not been trained in warfare. And when David come down, everybody was so scared of Goliath. Everybody was intimidated by his voice. And I'll tell you, there's a voice of intimidation that's trying to stop us from moving forward and being free in Jesus Christ. And David comes into this battle. And do you know what? I've just thought about David. When you've been with Christ, you have a different spirit from everybody else. When you've been with him, you have a different mindset. When you've been with him, you're God conscious. And David looks at this giant because he's been with God. You see, David's been up in the hills. He's writing, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack." What made David different from everybody else in that battle and in that fight that day? David had been with him. And David killed that giant. Not because David was great. You hear what David prophesied. He said, "Who's this uncircumcised Philistine who's defiling the armies of the living God?" And young people, I speak to you tonight. There are giants in the land that are robbing our generation of the presence of God. They're intimidating them. There's fear. There's bondage. I dare you to be with Christ. Leave the pew and go to the places where those giants are and prophesy in the name of Jesus. Let that prostitute, that drug addict, that alcohol, that man that's in bondage, I've been with Christ, and preach the gospel with power and authority, casting out demons, healing the sick, and seeing people set free. Not because we're talented, because we've been with him. Hallelujah! The church is not reaching the lost, is lost itself. He's calling us into a relationship for a reason, for service, to release us. He's given us power to go. We're not going because we're talented or educated or even brilliant. We're going because there's this deep call to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe with all my heart today that we have turned intimacy with Christ into nothing more than formulas. Nothing more. We're in the proximity, singing songs. Isaiah said, there's a people who praise me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They're in the proximity. They know the knowledge, but they've not been with Him. There's no intimacy with Christ, and they've changed it into formulas. We've got 12 steps for everything now. Friends, it's not even funny. It's robbing the people of God of the presence of Christ. 12 steps how to get the anointing. 12 steps how to get the anointing. Sixteen steps how to build a big church. 14 steps how to get power. But I want to tell you tonight, if I can leave you with anything, my last message and my last breath, it would be this. Power does not come out of a formula. Power comes out of being with Him. Victory does not come out of steps. Victory comes out of being with Him. We were singing freedom tonight. But friends, people, I know people who have been free and they're back in bondage tonight. Because they have been sidetracked by a phony gospel, man-made gimmicks, phony fire, all these formulas. Even that young man said about the prosperity gospel, and their sidetracks, they look like light. The doctrine of demons. And they just look like us and they sound like us, but there's no power in it. There's no authority in it. Real power, real authority, real victory comes out of being with Him. There is no other way. You see these formulas. There's no cross, no death to self, no sacrifice, no leaving like Abraham, no laying down reputation like Moses. Not like David running from Saul for over 7 years and being pursued by a madman who was full of jealousy. I'll tell you, the anointing costs more than 12 steps. The real anointing. The anointing and a power when people are even demented by the demonic, they're going to need more than a formula or a how-to. See, when you're in bondage to sin, when you're the world beyond these walls that the enemy has blinded their eyes and bound them, they don't need a formula or a how-to. When you're that sick, when you're that full of guilt and you're that full of pain, you don't need a how-to. You need a somebody. And His name is Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. It's a somebody. Acts 4, 13 and 14. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, and they marveled that they realized that they had been with Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Uneducated, untrained. And they said, they realized that these men had been with Jesus. You see, I've recognized in 25 years of ministry, people want authority. People want sent. People want to cast out demons. But I want to tell you, there's a lifestyle that goes with the name. Now, I felt that song, Freedom, tonight. I felt chains getting through. I felt His lifting our hands. But I know, friends, I know that tomorrow and the next day and the next day, and if you're going to have longevity, I'm going to tell you, this thing's going to sidetrack you. Keep the main thing, and the main thing is to be with Him. This might not be a message for the now, but I'll tell you, it's a message for the tomorrows of being with Him. There are going to come new devices. People are running about looking for the next big thing in Christianity. How to avoid the cross and find somehow to get that anointing and get that power. The closest thing I could find to a formula in the Bible was Acts 19. You don't need to turn there. Let me read it to you. Acts 19, 11 to 18. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul, so that even the handkerchiefs and the aprons were brought from his body to the sick. And the disease left them, and evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the Jews exercised, took it upon themselves to call upon the name of the Lord, and have power in the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exercise you by the, by the name of Jesus who Paul preaches, also were the seven sons of Sceva and the Jewish priest. Tried to cast them out, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? You see, Paul had a reputation in hell. Who are you? In other words, you see, they had the right name, and the name of Jesus. But they had the right words, come out. But they had no power. They had no authority. For this one reason, they had not been with him. All power comes out of being with him. That poor, sick world out there. You know, I feel it strong tonight. That there's almost a natural part of me doesn't want to challenge you because it's almost like the atmosphere has been great. But there's a world out there that needs to see men and women who have been with him. This is not about us. This is not for us. We've been set free. Now we need to proclaim that freedom to the world. We need to proclaim this joy to the world. To those who have no hope. For other young men who said, my father never loved me. My mother never loved me. They're sitting tonight all around here, all over America. A gospel, it's most of it is man-made. And it's all talk. And there's altar calls. And the altar, everybody leaves the same. Everybody falls down and within 5 minutes, everybody's up. The blind don't see, the lame don't walk. I don't want to follow that gospel. I'm not giving my life to that. I'm not giving my life to something like that. We've came too far. We've paid too big a price to let that stuff rob us of the presence of Christ. Somebody's going to walk into your church. They've got one chance. I want them to meet with him. And the best I can do for this world is be with him. I'm not against education. I'm an advocate of it. Power and victory and the anointing comes out with being with him. There's a passion. I don't want to just be with Jesus to get rich, to fill my bank account, or to get gifts, or to be well known. I couldn't care less. I remember when I took over my first church. To be honest, you'll be glad you weren't there. It was awful. I don't know how else to describe it to you. I was young, I was fiery, and I remember I went up to the church, and I remember the first Sunday I preached. Boy, did I preach. And it was just, man, we nearly went through the roof. And that was on the Sunday. And on the Tuesday was the prayer meeting. And I was walking out. I remember driving back with Fiona. I thought, man, that prayer meeting's going to be packed. It's going to be so full, man. After that, I was like, wow. And I couldn't wait till Tuesday. And I went up to the church on Tuesday. And there was me and three old women. And I was like, where is everybody? And an old woman said, what do you mean? She doesn't usually come. That's what happened. I was like, well, I'm going to just be honest with you. I was in my 20s. I just got annoyed. So the following Sunday, it was not good. I mean, I just rolled my sleeves up and I went for it. And I talked about the passion for the prayer meeting. I mean, it was... I don't know, can you say this? It was half spirit, half flesh. I don't know how to describe it, but it wasn't good. And I remember a man came up to me and he said, listen, son. I was like, son, I'm the pastor. Don't call me son. I mean... But I was young, I was 20, I was in fire for God. And he said, let me tell you something about the prayer meeting. People are working all week. People are tired. We've got children and we're busy. So I bit my lip and I walked out and I felt so low. And I remember thinking, you know what, he's right. How foolish was I to think that everybody would come to a prayer meeting? And that week I thought about it and then I went back the following Sunday. And I spoke to that man. And I said this. I remember what I said to him. You see, when I first met my wife Fiona, I was an evangelist traveling around the country. And I would get back all sorts of hours in the morning, very late at night, sometimes 10, 11, 1, 2 in the morning. But most of the time, 10 or 11 at night, I'd been traveling for 8 hours, get back home at 10. And when I first met my wife Fiona, I would, before I met her, I'd go home, go to my bed, go to sleep. When I started going out with my future wife, my girlfriend Fiona, I would say, I would phone her up about 10:30 at night after traveling 8 hours. And I'd say, oh, hello, I'm just wondering, would you like to go for a coffee? And she used to say, are you not tired? And I used to say, funny enough, no. And I'll tell you why I wasn't tired. Passion. I was falling in love. I was passionate about seeing her. I would iron my trousers, iron my shirt, 10 at night, get all that spit. Oh, tired. Oh, no, I was passionate. I'm just being honest, I was passionate. And we would sit in this dingy, horrible cafe to about 10, 11, 12, and she'd go, you tired? And I'd go, no. And I went back and preached to the church the following Sunday. Preached to the church. And I remember this feeling I had about when I met Fiona and it took away my tiredness. And I preached to the church and I went up to that man and I said this, tiredness in time is not your problem. Your problem is passion. Because when you love somebody, you'll be there no matter what time, no matter how tired you are. You're going to get there. There's a passion. There's a love for God. If you can do it for a woman or a country, I can do it for Jesus. And I went back to that man and I said, your problem is your passion for God. I said, you've lost your first love. He was offended. But I knew in my spirit, no, you go home and you lie on your couch and you've got that remote control and you watch your television and you're tired. If that's how much you love him, then that's fine. But as for me, I'm going to get to every prayer meeting. I'm going to get what I can. I have fallen in love with Jesus Christ. And if I can do it for Fiona, who's a human being, and when we die, the marriage is going to be over, can I not do it for Jesus, who hung on a cross and died for me and set me free from 10 years of drug addiction? I'm telling you, I'm going to be there. I'm in love with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Our problem is not time. Our problem is not busyness. Our problem is passion. And you'll never know how much you love him until you know how much he's delivered you from. Just getting a bit passionate. Your problem is not time. Can I ask you a question? I'm nearly finished. When's the last time you wanted to just be with him? I'll tell you, I would never let my son or my wife take his place ever, ever in my life. Ever. I don't even know how long I'll have them for. Or they would have me. It would be foolishness. I've even told my wife, don't lean on me. I'm going to fade away one day. I might even fade away before you. Make sure you're leaning on him. I'm putting that into my son. I'm a good dad. I'm a brilliant dad to you, but I'm trying to get him to lean on Christ. Serious stuff. The church is being sidetracked with man-made gimmicks, phony fire, not nonsense. And anybody in the spirit can sense it. That's not a criticism, it's just the way they are. I pray for the church. I love the church. If you have been with him, Paul the Apostle, when he was in prison, coming near his time, he knew his head was coming off. They were going to kill this man. This man had been passionate, planted churches, one of the greatest theologians the world had ever known. He could have bragged and wrote everything. And at the end of his life, he didn't say, let me tell you how many churches I built. It's been phenomenal. I've got books here on how church growth and how to grow your church. He never done any of it. No, at the end of his life, he wrote these amazing words. It make you weep, really. really would. It makes me weep. You see, you are a lot of young people in here tonight. And it's not just how you start, it's how you finish. Paul had this compass, and he said this at the end of his life, "Oh, that I might know him." I always read that and I think, Paul, if anybody knew him, you did. But there's this longing in his heart. Who is this man who saved me? Who is this man who touched me and took the fear that Paul couldn't control, anxieties that couldn't get set free from? Where would we be if he hadn't touched us? If you've been with him, you're going to have a passion for the church. Do you know the church is full of all sorts, isn't it? It's not perfect, but I'll tell you, you'll love it because he shed his blood for the church. You're going to have a passion for souls, and above all else, you're going to have a passion for him. This is my last scripture I'm going to read to you. You don't need to turn to it for time. Revelation 3:14-22 says this. And the angel of the church of Laodicea writes, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were neither hot nor cold. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. I counsel you, buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may be rich, with the white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may be revealed, and the anointing your eyes with the eye salve, that you may see. As many as I have loved, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be jealous and repent." Listen to this. Pastor Carter was talking about a door. Listen to this one. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, and also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church." Now, as I say, I don't necessarily believe that you're feeling this right now, but I'm telling you, I know. I've seen people who started off well in their compass went off course, and they followed the doctrines of demons, they followed the inventions of men, they chased the next world wind of move of God, to only see that the wind blew somewhere else, and when it was all said and done, there was very few saved and very few set free. And here God is writing to his church. And it's a horrible thing when you have a reputation and people are patting your back and saying, "Man, you're phenomenal." I'll tell you, get away from the praise of men and get the opinion of God. God said, "You don't even know you're wretched, poor and naked." But listen to the Christ. See, this is what I'm talking about tonight. As I started, so I'll finish. He is calling you. He's calling you, and he said, "I'm going to give you power. And I'm going to give you authority when you go beyond the pew and take this gospel outside the doors." And then he says here, this is a church that's been doing a long time. They maybe even had food banks and done stuff and great. And it started all in the Spirit, and it started, and they felt his presence. And all of a sudden, somehow, their heart got engaged in so much. And all of a sudden, Christ found himself on the other side of this church's door. But the passion of Christ, I'll tell you, the passion of God for me and you is phenomenal. So I've got good news for you tonight. If you're poor and wretched and naked, here's the good news. I love you. Wow. How many churches are that tonight? Oh, God is so tender, so gentle. And he's like, "I love you." Even if your flame's down to a smoking flax, God said, I won't break you, I won't bruise you, I'll just brave on you and brave that passion back. And he said, I stand at the door tonight, open up the door, let me come in and dine with you. Let come into my table with me and my Father. There's total access into my presence. I've no favourites. I've not a favourite in the world. The curtain has been torn in two. You have access into my presence. The Father says, you have access into my presence through my Son. So I want to ask you tonight, when's the last time you wanted to just be with him? And I want to challenge you tonight for the future. Because the storm's coming. And I'll tell you, the man-made gimmicks are not going to stop. In fact, the angels of light are going to just get so similar to us, but they're not of us. You're going to need discernment. You're going to need the power of God. If you want power, you want authority, and you really want to have an impact in your generation, then my advice to you is the only advice that I've had in 25 years for myself. The Holy Spirit taught me everything I know. All I knew is how to get in a room and be with him. Now, I'm not talking about locking your way for... We have complicated this. Just walk with God. I mean, Enoch walked with God, and God said, you know what? You just walk so close. You'd be well coming up right now. Just lifted him up. Glory to God. He went, you're so close to me. Just, can you imagine his wife in it? Where is he? I don't know. The last time I seen him, he was walking down there, and God said, I've got him. He never even died. He never experienced death. He walked so close with God. And so can you. And so can you. And so can you. And so can every one of you young people. You can be on fire for God with a passion. Don't lose your first love. Guard it with all your heart. Let them take every gift. Strip me of everything. But I'm telling you, I'm guarding my heart. I'm nearly 50 and I can say the thing that's most important to me to this day is God, keep my first love burning. Don't let me fall in love with ministry. Don't love me love preaching more than people. Don't let me get caught up in who I am and what I'm doing for you. The one thing, oh, that I might know him and keep that love burning in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. Let's stand for a moment. I wonder if the musician could come back. The piano player, please. Why don't you close your eyes for a moment? The power of being with him. The power of being with him. Sometimes, you know, Jesus was that example to us. You know, Jesus went, it said he went to solitary places, he went away, he'd been with the Father, then he would come back. You know, the disciples asked him something, can you teach us how to pray? Do you know why they asked him that? Because every time, Jesus, you go over there and you come back, there's this power. And if he's your example, he went up the mountain to meet the Father. He went into places to meet with him. Now, do you know what? As a young man, I was in bondage because I read a book. And this man said in the book, if you don't pray for more than 2 or 3 hours a day, then you're not worthy to be a minister. And I couldn't do it for 3 hours a day. I'd done it for months. I prayed for months for 3 hours a day. Trying to get God's favour. Now that may have been his call, but it wasn't mine. I don't know how long I prayed. Sometimes I go in and it is 2 hours. Sometimes I go in and it's 5 minutes. I just want to walk with him. I just want to talk to him. He's not looking for anything more than that. Do you love him? Can I tell you? No, what kept me? I need to say this. What kept me more than anything? It all comes down to your love for Jesus. Some woman going to flick her eyes and take you away from his love. Some man, some thing, some materialism. I want to tell you, there's not a person, there's not a child, there's not a materialism thing that can satisfy. You were made for God and by God. And until you fully surrender to him, you'll never function. We won't function as human beings, but we're going to stay in a flawed state. What is the call tonight? It's simple. A resolution in your heart, young and old. Let me tell you, so many leaders fall in their 50s and 60s, been drawn away. We need to stay close to Him. So if you want the anointing, then be with Him. I believe God's going to break hearts tonight with a brand new love, a deeper love for Him. Let me put it that way. A deeper love for Christ. Put all the, well, you do it here anyway. I was going to say put all the phones away and the books. So, come aside a little while. God's no favourite. I tell you, imagine God having no favourite. No, there's no special. Listen, there's no great men. There's just a great God. Just a great God. I mean, read Hebrews 11. You think, half of them were basket cases. You went, goodness me. If you read about them, you just think, he shouldn't be there. He shouldn't be there. He shouldn't be there. He shouldn't be there. But God called them with their frailty and their faults. And he's called. Do you hear the Spirit calling you? Do you hear the Spirit calling? Come on, be with Him. Don't let Jesus become a stranger in His own house. Let's not sing about just worshiping Him. And let's worship Him. Not that we were doing that tonight, by the way. The worship was phenomenal. I'm just saying. We can. It's a small shift. And there's a small shift takes place. There's a small shift take place. There's a small shift takes place. And it's subtle. And it's subtle. And it's subtle. Pray tonight, God, don't let me lose my first love. Don't be casual tonight. Be sober-minded and say, no, I'm making a decision. Maybe you've lost your first love. You say tonight, God, I hear you knocking. You're knocking at my heart. Here I am again, Lord. I want to come in and dine with you. I want to come in. Give me the passion for prayer. Give me a passion for your church. But most of all, give me a passion for the lost. Not good ideas. It's not just a career move. What am I going to be for God? It's a deep calling unto deep. I tell you, I believe with all my heart. I do believe it with all my heart. And I don't just say this. Listen to me. I believe with all my heart there's voices at this altar that you're going to speak to hundreds. People are going to get saved through your ministry. But right now there's a hidden life. Don't be frustrated. Don't run before your time. I don't know how you'll know, but you'll just know. Does the cross still break your heart? I want to leave us with, I want us to think of how passionate He was for me and you. While we were still sinners, He died for us. Oh, the grace of God, the grace and the mercy of God tonight. The grace and the mercy of God. The grace in them. It's only reasonable that we be living sacrifices for His glory and for His honor. Oh, hallelujah. Is anybody glad to have been set free? For your glory and for your honor. It cost them everything for us to carry this power and this anointing. But what are we going to do with it? This poor world needs men and women who have been with Him. Is there anybody else who wants to come to this altar before we pray? Anybody else? Say, Lord, let me tell you, even if you feel far away from God tonight, I'll tell you, it's simple. Just say, God, saturate me with your presence and draw me into the chambers of your love again. Come on, will you raise your voice and just start speaking to Him? Say, God, I love you. Just pour your love on Him tonight. At this altar, pour your love on Him. Pour your love on Christ. Pour your love on Christ. Pour your love on the Christ. Pour all your love on Him. Pour all your praise on Him. Pour all your kindness on Him. Pour all your emotions on Him. Pour your life out to Christ tonight. Let's call upon the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus tonight. There's power. And as He's calling you, change. That freedom is here tonight. Chains are falling off. Besetting sin is gone. Hallelujah. I know you sense freedom in your spirit tonight. The power of being with Him. Shake off any legalism of performance that's actually robbing you. Say, God, I've been legalistic. I receive your grace tonight. I receive your grace. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. I receive your grace. God, you already loved me before I fasted. You already loved me before I prayed. You already loved me, Lord, before I knew a song. You already loved me. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Holy Spirit, come and bring His presence to the church again. Let Christ have the preeminence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we are forgiven. Thank you, you've set us free. Thank you, you broke the bondages and the fears in our life. Thank you, we are already accepted in the Beloved. Oh, we give you praise, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise. We're only free for one reason. We're free to serve Him. We're only free to serve Him. Nothing else. We have been set free to serve Him. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Jesus. Hallelujah. Freedom. Freedom. Total freedom. Total freedom to praise Him. Total freedom to worship Him. Total freedom to serve Him. We've been delivered from the house of bondage. We've been delivered from the Pharaoh of our soul. Freedom. Freedom. Calling us to be with Him. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, we need to finish tonight with praise. I can't finish tonight in silence. We need to finish with singing praises to the greatness of our God. We can't leave. Weeping endures, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. We are going to sing freedom. Freedom. We are going to celebrate the call of God on our lives. We're going to celebrate the love that God has put in our hearts towards it. It's not even our love. He put that love in there so that we would love Him. It's not even our love. He's put a love deep in us for Himself. And we're going to sing freedom. And young people, I implore you, guard your first love. Run with all your heart. Tell your generation about the greatness of our God and our Christ, and that He can do anything. With God, all things are possible. And He's looking for somebody, not how to, but somebody who'll just believe. A man dying of cancer can believe. An 8-year-old child can believe. He's looking for people who'll just believe. And I know there's people at this altar who believe. So we're going to sing. And we're going to praise Him. And if you have a dance in your step, dance. I can't dance, but if you can, God bless you. Listen, God won't go away. We've been at the altar. God has drawn us. You've got the message in your heart. I just think we need to finish with praise, if that's okay, Pastor Teresa. I just feel a shout inside me that I can't leave in silence tonight. I want principalities and powers to hear the voice of victory that God has called us. Now remember, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you stand for a moment with me? Lord, we come before you tonight. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we heard that voice in the darkest moments of our life. Lord, your voice was so powerful that it broke bondages and chains. Your voice is so powerful, Lord. So powerful, it went into the grave of Lazarus and woke him up. Now, Lord, may we carry your voice to the ends of the earth with clean hands and a pure heart and follow the call of God and simply believe your word that you can do what you said you can do. Simply believing that you have chosen us and we did not choose you. Simply believing that you have given us authority and power. And may we go, Lord, and tell the brokenhearted, the widow and the orphans all over the world that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, we surrender ourselves to you afresh. Help us to not lose our first love and give us a passion to just get to know him and be with him. Now let's praise him tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No more shackles, no more chains. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord has been speaking to us about doors, hasn't he? And we've been hearing about the doors. But you know what Pastor Carter said to me? What's the most amazing thing about Revelation, the book of Revelation Chapter 3, it says, if any man open the door when he knocks, he says, I'll come in. And it's the one door Jesus goes through to come get us. He comes through the door to love us. He comes through the door to draw us to prayer. And there are sometimes, beloved, when you feel the old enemy breathing down your neck and you know you're being summoned and drawn by the love of God, just open the door. That's all. He'll step through and get you. Open the door. That's all we have to do. He says, I'm going to stand in that door and I'm going to knock. And if you will open the door, he says, I'm coming to get you. And I say that's the drawing power of love, of the love of Jesus Christ. And even when sometimes we don't feel like we can open our mouths, we know we're fighting powers and principalities, but we know his love is there to take us through. He says, open the door, I'll come through to you. Hallelujah. And I love it because there's going to be a time over time, this love relationship, we're going to be knocking on that door. Jesus, are you there on the other side? Because I'm here. I'm here. I love you with all my heart. But I just thank God that he knows how to keep a relationship going, a love relationship going. He knows how to keep a love relationship going. Hallelujah. I'm thrilled by that. I'm thrilled by that. Open the door. He'll come get us too. I love that. Lord, it's been good in your presence. We love you so much. Thank you for loving us beyond what we know or think or we can even begin to imagine. Thank you, Lord, you kept it so simple for us tonight that it's a man, it's a woman that's been with you that is the answer. Lord, you're keeping it simple, and I thank you, Lord, that we're just going to open that door. There'll be days, oh God, that's in us to do, but we will open that door for communication. We'll just open that door, and you'll come get us. Thank you. It's not a formula like we heard. Oh God, this is a real relationship. Thank you. Thank you, Love Listens. Thank you. Sometimes you hear us just when our prayer can't even get to words. Thank you when it's just in the heart and you listen to us. Now I thank you. May your peace be upon this congregation. May your drawing love be ever on this group of people. May we all be stirred by the love of Christ. May we, as the longer we walk with you and serve you, may the depth and the breadth and the height of the love of Christ be an ever-increasing reality in our lives. Let us at the end of our days say it was for love of Christ that I did what I did. Thank you for the promise of a satisfied heart in you. Lord, you are good. Thank you. You say the terms of this relationship is to be a love relationship. And I just thank you, you know how to keep a love relationship going. Thank you, Lord. We've just opened our doors tonight, and thank you. We felt your love draw us through it. And we give you the praise. We give you the glory for all you've done these last 2 days. We thank you the way that you've spoken to us, Lord. We thank you for the way you've revived us. We thank you for the way you've met us in our need. We thank you the way you spoke to us in ways we can understand. We thank you for the way that you have just come to us time and time again and washed our feet. You took a towel and you ministered to us, Lord, and we're amazed by that. And I thank you for the challenge not to throw in the towel, oh God, but that we keep that towel, oh God. We keep it as a symbol of humility and authority. I thank you, oh God, that it's our privilege to love you and to serve one another, Lord. And I just thank you for in you, Jesus, all this is possible. And we just love you tonight. Thank you for breaking the fear, Lord, of not measuring up. We're loved that much. We're loved that deeply. It's going to rescue us time and time again and empower us to preach this good word, this good news with grace and love. And for that, we say, amen and amen. God is good. God bless you. Amen.